So, I wasn't sure there would be a sermon tonight because I didn't have this word until yesterday afternoon around 3 o'clock. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I have notebooks full of teachings, some of which I know you guys have not heard. I could easily pull one of those out, but I won't do that because I'd rather not give a word than have it not be the word that God wants brought. And you know what? I'm also really thankful that it doesn't bother me anymore, that if I don't have a word, I'm okay with that. And just so you know, that every one of us that stand behind this podium are willing to be bumped at any time by whatever God is doing. So we're never sure until we're actually right here and have our stuff open that we're actually going to preach. So what triggered this teaching was something very simple. I was just like, Lord, and I do my due diligence, let me just say. The second I'm done preaching, the time before, I'm like, okay, God, what's next? I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm looking, I'm listening, and nothing was coming. So I just recently bought a new book by Tim Sheets, who is Dutch Sheets' brother, and it's called New Era of Glory, which kind of caught my attention. I'm like, ooh, that sounds interesting. So I read one paragraph of the book, and then I had a word. So, Father, I thank you that you can do anything. And we just pray tonight, Lord God, that this word would be your word, not mine. Lord, that it would touch us in places that need to be touched, that it would challenge us and change us for your glory and for our joy as well, in Jesus' name. So along with this one paragraph came a reference to a scripture that I know you guys are familiar with, but this was in the Message translation, and that's what kind of brought it all together. And it's Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. And it says this, Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11 in the Message translation. I don't think the way you think. We could just preach on that tonight. The way you work isn't the way I work. God's decree is, for as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I sent them to do. They will complete the assignment I gave them. There was something about that phrase, they will complete the assignment that I gave them. Every word that comes out of God's mouth has an assignment. And just the analogy that Isaiah used in this passage was, as he heard from God, just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and they've got an assignment. Their assignment is to water the earth, to produce food, to help seeds grow, things blossom. That's the assignment of the rain and the snow. And they aren't evaporated back up until they complete their assignment. So the word of the Lord comes to us, and it won't go back to him empty-handed without completing its assignment. Now, I do have some definitions tonight, but they're all from the concordance. So, in here, the words that come out of my mouth, the word there means the answer, the appointment, the commandment, the communication, the declaration, the promise, the pronouncement. All of those things that come out of my mouth. when an answer comes out of my mouth, when an appointment comes out of my mouth, when a declaration, a promise, a pronouncement comes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty-handed. So how are some of the ways that God's word comes to us? Well, obviously, the word of God, the Bible, the written Bible. But that's not the only way that God's word comes to us. We are a prophetic body, as those of you who come here know. And so God's word comes to us through the prophetic, both for things spoken to us from other people, when we have prophets that come in, like at our presbytery times, even among the body here, very often there will be a prophetic word that will come. But do you also know that you can prophesy to yourself? That the word of God can come to you through you? We don't always think about that. But when we're up against something and we're like, what am I going to do about this? And all of a sudden, all of these creative ideas come to you. That's you prophesying to yourself. It's the Spirit of God rising up in you. Now, since being a widow, there are some things that I have to do that I never had to do before. And so I don't know how many times I've had to go to the Lord and say, God, I don't have a clue how to do this. What, right, Tina? Yeah. Will you show me how to do this? And lo and behold, he always bubbles something up in me. And it's like, wow, that's so cool. That's a prophetic word to myself. It's not coming from my mind. It's coming from my spirit. Our creative ideas are prophetic. It's like when we see those who draw or paint during worship. They're prophesying through their artistry, right? When tonight, Dylan prophesied over us a couple of times. Did you feel that? That horn, that rich sound from the horn, he was prophesying over us. God speaks to us in dreams. I very rarely remember my dreams. So when I do, I'm like, oh, write this down because this means something. He speaks to us through visions. He speaks to us through nature, right? In Romans, doesn't it say that look at nature, and when we do, we have no excuse for not believing in God because everything about nature speaks of his glory and who he is. He also speaks to us through just natural circumstances that happen. You know, when you're riding down the road and you need a word of hope and all of a sudden a rainbow appears, you know, or you run into somebody that just has the right word for you, not necessarily thus saith the Lord, but something. He's speaking to us all the time. He also speaks to us through angels. And I think in the season that we're in now, we're beginning to see more angelic activity than we've ever seen before. There is more activity of the Holy Spirit. There's more prophecy coming forward. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And there's more angelic activity that's happening in this season. So let's look at some examples of this. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. And there's a couple of things we want to look at in Luke chapter 1. And I'm out of the message and back into my Amplified Bible now. So you'll be able to tell that momentarily. So, the first story is about Zechariah. He was the high priest. His wife was barren, and they were both very old. And he's going in to the presence of God, and in verse 11 it says, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear took possession of him. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your petition was heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you must call his name John. And you shall have great joy and delight, and many will rejoice over his birth. For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he must drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in and from his mother's womb. Wow. And he will turn back and cause to return many to return as sons of the Lord their God. And he himself will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient and the incredulous to the wisdom of the upright. And so it goes on. So way back in Isaiah 43 and Malachi 3, years, hundreds of years before Angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, a word of the Lord went forth. And that word had an assignment. And in this moment, right here, that we just read about, that assignment began to click into place. The word that was spoken in Isaiah, which says, "A voice of one who cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God." It repeats that same thing in Malachi 3:1. And at the end of Malachi, it talks about the spirit of Elijah coming, who will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children. Those words were spoken and sent out from the heart of God many, many years before this happened. And they did not come back to God. They did not return to him until right here. Because if they'd returned any sooner, they'd have come back empty-handed and void of the intention. Right? These words had an assignment for Zechariah and for his son, John the Baptist. So Zechariah is slightly incredulous himself about this word. In verse 18 he says, "By what shall I know and be sure of this? For I'm an old man and my wife is quite old as well." Listen to what Gabriel says to him. And the angel replied to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and I've been sent to talk to you and to bring you this good news." Do angels bring us the word of God? Yes, they do. So the words that were spoken in Isaiah and in Malachi and all those prophetic words that were spoken about John the Baptist, very specifically who he would be and what he would do, that message came through an angel to Zechariah and said, it's all blending together now. Well, he loses his voice for a minute, but obviously somewhere in his heart, he believed something, because lo and behold, we got John the Baptist. So somewhere in there, he's like, might as well give this a try. You know what I mean? Like, yes, he said yes, somewhere in his heart. The word of the Lord that had been written all those years ago had an assignment that came to pass in this. We go on in verse 26. Gabriel was very busy in Luke chapter 1. He was doing a lot of visiting. He shows up at the home of a young girl named Mary in verse 26. And it says, "Now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married, and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed and favored of God are you before all other women.' But when she saw him, she, just like Zechariah, was slightly troubled and disturbed and confused at the same time by what he said, and she kept mulling it over in her mind, 'What does this greeting mean?' And the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there will be no end. That word was spoken originally in Isaiah. Let's just look at that quickly. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government in peace there will be no end. And he will sit upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth, even forever." This is what the angel speaks to Mary. This word that was given again by the prophet Isaiah had an assignment. It went out of Isaiah's mouth from the heart of God, waiting for the fullness of God's time. When time converged with this moment, and an assignment happened. The assignment was a virgin would give birth to a child. In verse 35, and the angel said, and Mary said, how can this be? I don't understand this. Do you know it's okay to tell God you don't understand? It's really okay to say, God, I just really don't understand this. How in the world is this going to ever happen? And the angel says to her, in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the pure, holy, sinless thing which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. In Isaiah 7:14, it says this, "For therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, God with us." That word had an assignment. It was given all those years before. Angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, now is the time. Because this assignment cannot go back to God without accomplishing what he sent it to do. It can't go back to God. And then in verse 37, the angel Gabriel speaks this, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God will be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Every word has an assignment. Nothing is impossible for him. Now, here's something very interesting I found yesterday afternoon. The word nothing comes from a Greek word, rhema, which most of the time means word. But the word nothing that Gabriel spoke to Mary was rhema. Now, a rhema word versus a logos word is, a logos word is just the word of God, you know, in speaking generally. Scriptures as a whole are the logos. The rhema word is when it meets a specific target. That rhema word that means something to you. So when Gabriel said to her, nothing is impossible, He's saying to her, the Rhema word of God, when it is spoken, nothing will be impossible. When that word, that specific word, conceived in spirit, birthed, conceived in the spirit, birthed in the natural, Rhema word. Now, Logos words can become Rhema words. What about John 3:16? Before I got saved, that was just a scripture, for God so loved the world. At a point in time, all of a sudden, that was no longer a Logos word. That was a Rhema word for me. Specifically to me, Jesus died for your sins, and you can be born again. It became a Rhema word to me. So the word impossible, nothing from Rhema. The word impossible comes from the Greek adoneiateo, which means impotent, weak, or unable. So what is this saying? When Gabriel said to her, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. The Rhema words that come to us are potent, they are powerful, they are productive. They are pregnant with possibility when we receive those Rhema words. Nothing. That Rhema word, when it comes to you, it is packed with power. It is packed with potential. It is packed with the ability to produce and the power to complete the assignment that was attached to it. There are over 300 messianic promises in the Old Testament, spoken way before Jesus came, all with an assignment. It spoke of how he was conceived, right to what kind of death. His whole life was prophesied in the Old Testament, much of it in the book of Isaiah. Over 300 messianic promises that had an assignment, that in the fullness of time, when Mary said, be it unto me according to your word, your Rhema word to me, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and all of those assignments began to be fulfilled. I know this is a little mind-boggling here, but it's the truth. And when we receive a Rhema word from God, we have to believe that same thing is true. This word that God is speaking to me in this specific moment for this specific thing is powerful. It's potent. It will produce something in me. It will impregnate me with the life that is held in that word. Its assignment will come to pass in each one of us. When Mary said, be it unto me according to your word, she activated that word with faith. Do you know, because we are a prophetic church and a body of believers, and we have a lot of prophecy that comes forth, we can be kind of nonchalant about it, honestly, and just like, oh, yeah, so-and-so had a word. Yeah, that was good. Wait a minute. That word has an assignment. And that word is full of power and promise, and it's potent. And you know, when we are prayed for at Presbytery and we get all these words, we are not supposed to just go home and say, okay, God, lay it on me. Here I am. No. No. We are to say, God, this is a powerful, potent word that you have given me, and I am saying to you, activate that. Stir up faith within me and activate that word. If you're wondering why maybe some of those prophetic words that have been spoken over you haven't come to pass, maybe you haven't activated them with your faith. Doesn't mean you have to understand it. I don't think, even when Mary said, be it unto me according to your word, that she really understood all of what this was about. She was probably about 14 years old, you know? Really. But she had enough faith and understood because Gabriel was speaking scripture to her. Words that had been spoken generations before. I'm sure she had read the Torah and the things that were in the Hebrew word. She knew that what he was speaking were true words and that they had an assignment. So it doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. You have to activate it by faith. Jerry Taylor one time, Alan loves to quote this, at a presbytery meeting said this, God is 100% sovereign. We are 100% accountable. So when God gives you a word, even if you don't understand it, you need to take that word and say, God, I received this word. And I'm giving you permission to work this out in my life. The other thing is, sometimes there is an assignment to us that comes through a prophetic word. So what do we do with these words? I don't care who the word comes from. Any of us here that prophesy, Michael Cotton, anybody, judge the word. Anyone who is a true prophet will not be offended by you judging the word. Trust me. I would hope that you do. Judge the word. Is it scriptural? It's got to have some basis in scripture. And if you don't know and you don't know how to judge the word, take it to whoever your oversight is and say, will you help me discern whether this is really a word from God or not? And I have heard words given, even in presbytery, that I'm like, don't think that's really from God. That is why here in this body, if you are prayed for at presbytery, you meet with an elder or a pastor to go over that word and see what bears witness to you, what they feel is really from God. What if it's not from God? What do you do with it then? If it is found sound to really be a word that's come to you from God, and even the things, it doesn't have to be in presbytery, the dreams, the visions, all those other things that I mentioned, it's okay to say, God, was that really you? And if you're not sure, ask somebody. Pray with someone about it. And see, yeah, wow, I think that vision really was from God. It's a wild one, but I think it's from God. And then activate that with faith. So, I remember, I was trying to think last night. It must be at least 35 years ago. I was sharing at a woman's breakfast in Braddock's Park in the church that we went to at the time. Some of you here remember Maggie Ventura. Maggie Ventura had a word for me. She's with the Lord now. At the end of this teaching, she came up to me and she said, someday, she pointed her finger at me, a la Michael Carton, someday you will be preaching internationally. And I'm like, I don't know about that. But it didn't make any sense to me here. But it did something here. My spirit bore witness to it. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know when it was going to happen. But something in me said, be it unto me according to your word. Now, it took over 20 years for that to happen. But that word spoken to me by a sister in Christ had an assignment in my life. And on June 10th, I'm making my fifth trip to Wales, where I speak around many different places. Took some time, but that word was spoken. It bore with it an assignment. Even though I didn't understand it and I thought it was kind of actually silly, I said, Lord, be it unto me. And it is. At the proper time, in the fullness of time, that assignment happened. The assignment that word happened. I would encourage you all, I hope you keep the words that are prophesied over you. If you don't, start doing that. Go back over them and see, Lord, has there been any instruction to me that I've overlooked? I know sometimes there will be a word about bury yourself in the Word of God, and then this will happen. If you're not burying yourself in the Word of God, that's not going to happen, even though that word has an assignment. You are 100% accountable. So if God says, I want you to pray every morning from 5 to 7, and that's part of the prophetic word, and there's something hinging on that, you better do that. You don't have to do it, but you're not going to see the fulfillment. You're not going to see the assignment come to pass from that word. There's nothing worse than an undone assignment. I was a school teacher. Do your assignments. There's a reason. There's a reason for those things. So, what if you find something? Ooh, it said to do this. I didn't do it. Either in ignorance, or you forgot about it, or you didn't think it was important. You're still waiting for this, the promise, but you haven't done that. Repent. Just ask God to forgive you. Whatever the reason, I was ignorant, I forgot, I'm sorry, I thought it was foolish, whatever, repent of that. And then say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I want this assignment to be fulfilled in me. And then exercise faith so it can be activated in you and obey. One of the last time, actually, that Ron and I were prayed for at Presbytery, it was Michael Cotton, actually, that spoke over us. And he gave my husband an instruction. He said, you are to make a list of 100 men. And you are going to lay hands on these 100 men and impart something to them. Which is a big task. But here's what he said. You need to study Elijah and Elisha. So he took that word and he began to study Elijah and Elisha for almost a year. Almost a year. Poured over it and over it and over it and over it. And then there was a message he gave about it. And it wasn't just men, it was women. Probably close to, I don't know, Bonnie, you were probably there. You guys were there. A lot of people came forward. And then, once he was in hospice, almost 200 men came to our house for my husband to pray for him. He had done what the word said. Activated with faith, and the assignment was fulfilled. So that when he left this earth, it could be said of him what was said of David, he did everything I asked him in his generation. I want that to be all of our testimony, that we did everything God asked us to do in our generation. So in total, close to 300 men, women, and children benefited because that assignment was fulfilled. Many of you in this room received a blessing from Ron. We need to also put a demand on the words that are spoken to us. Now, this is different than a name it and claim it thing. And sometimes we poo-poo that a little too much because there's a lot of scriptures that talk about God wanting to bless us. But he wants us to put a demand on things that are really from him, not just things we think we want, like I'm claiming a Cadillac, right? Just to impress people. That's not it. But if you've received a word and you've done these things, you've fulfilled your part of it, and you've activated it with faith, and it's still not happening, it's okay to say, God, you said thus and such. Now, do you know who's really good at putting demands on words? Your kids. But Mom, you said that if I picked up my room, we would get an ice cream. Right? Did you say that? Get in the car. Right? Your kids will put demands on your words. But you promised. It's okay to put a demand on a true word that comes from God. When I was 6 months pregnant with our daughter Sarah, it was the first time in my life I ever heard the audible voice of God. It's only happened 2 times in almost 50 years. And I was on my knees, but I wasn't praying. I was putting baby clothes in a little dresser thing. And I was on my knees sorting these clothes, and it was before ultrasounds, so they were all very generic green and yellow clothing that would be boy or girl. And the presence of God came into the room, and the voice of God said this to me. There will be something wrong with this baby, but don't be afraid. It will be for my glory. That was not really a word I wanted to hear, but I knew it was God, and I wasn't afraid. And I did just what was talked about, what Tina said to Katie. I hid it in my heart, and I never said anything to anyone, including my husband. And so when Sarah was born with the cord wrapped tightly around her neck, and getting worse as she was being born, and those of you who are familiar with Apgar tests, her 1 minute Apgar was 2, and her 5 minute Apgar was 5. And it's supposed to be 10. And it measures breath and color and a whole battery of things. Instantly, that word came back to me. There will be something wrong with this child, but don't be afraid. It will be for my glory. So through a battery of things that happened, we were told within a few days of her birth that she would never walk or talk. When she was 10 days old, she started having seizures. Every kind of seizure you can imagine, from a grand mal seizure in my arms as this little baby to the kind of seizures that unless you were looking at her, you'd have missed it, like just kind of like this. And I remembered that word, don't be afraid. This is going to be for my glory. So with every report we got from the doctor, with every seizure, with everything that happened to her, I put a demand on that word. God, you told me to not be afraid, that this was going to be for your glory, and I'm not seeing that fulfilled right now. I'm putting a demand on that which you've spoken to me. When Sarah was 4, she had become addicted to phenobarbital and Dilantin, which she needed to stop the seizures. When she was 4 years old, she had brainwave tests done every 6 months. Lo and behold, the brainwave was normal. And the doctor said, it was probably the machine. These things happen. We probably better do the test over. And my husband and I are like, but we did not take her off the medication. Because we didn't have a word to do that. But once again, we put a demand on the word of God. And we said, Lord, you have said this is going to be for your glory. She does not need this medication any longer. So after being on it from 10 days old to 4 years old, she all of a sudden had a dramatic allergic reaction to the medication. Her head blew all of her joints, blew up. She had blood vessels that were breaking. She was going to die. And so we rushed her to the hospital, and I still remember this. We were asked to sit in one of those counseling rooms off the side, you know, and this whole battery of doctors show up, and they're like, Mr. and Mrs. Fess, we don't know how to tell you this, but Sarah is having a life-threatening reaction to her medication, and we have to take her off it. And we're like, okay. And they're like, no, wait, you don't understand. This is really serious. We're going to cold turkey her off this medication. She will have withdrawal, and she will start having seizures again. And we're just like, okay. It's a wonder they didn't call Child Protectives on us, because we were just like really flippant about the whole thing. But I had put a demand on the Word of God that this was going to be for His glory. And so she came off the medicine cold turkey. She never had one second of withdrawal. She never had another seizure. She is definitely talking and walking. And she graduated from high school a year early, to the glory of God, because I put a demand on the Rhema word that had an assignment that was fulfilled in that moment. Yes. Don't be afraid to say, God, but you said this. One time also, when Ron and I were being prayed for, they said that I would be healed. Well, at the time, there was nothing wrong with me. But I'm like, okay. And it was one of those things that I did go to the Lord and say, God, I don't know how to judge this, because as far as I know, there's really not anything wrong with me. But my spirit bore witness to it. And it wasn't too much longer that I started having some symptoms. And it wasn't too much longer after that that I was being sent from my primary care physician to a specialist. And on the way to the specialist, I heard God's voice for the second time. Just those two times. This time He said to me, whose report will you believe? Whose report are you going to believe? Mine, that said you're going to be healed. I didn't even know what the doctor was going to say yet. But I had a feeling that if he was giving me that challenge, it was going to be something I didn't want to hear. And indeed it was. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease in the family of lupus. And I am not yet healed. But I put a demand on that word every single day. Those of you who've ever been in my upstairs bathroom, probably just these two over here, I have an index card that is now 22 years old, yellowed, pasted to my bathroom mirror that says, whose report will you believe? So every single morning, I have a choice. I can choose to believe the word of the Lord that has an assignment of my healing, or I can listen to what the doctors tell me, what my own body tells me quite often. Or I can say, God, once again this morning, I choose your report. You said I would be healed. It's been 22 years. I am not yet healed. But I will tell you this. I do much more than I should be able to do every single day of my life based on what my diagnosis was. I should not be able to get out of bed most days, but I do. And so although I don't have complete healing yet, every morning I make a choice to believe that that word that was spoken to me all those years back is true, that God will heal me. Some assignments happen quickly. You get the word, it happens right away. Sometimes you get the word, and well, here we are 22 years later, still believing that the word is true, because Every rhema word that is spoken has an assignment, and it's potent, powerful, and will produce good works in your life. All of these words that God has spoken to you have been determined before the foundation of time. Determined in his heart that they were true, and he assigned something to them. And then he spoke through Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and you and you and you and whoever else, and brought those words forward full of assignment, waiting for faith to activate them and for you to see the completion of that assignment. Eldon Wilson, who is a great prophet and kind of father in the faith, he had received a word when he was 16 years old about certain things. He was in the Navy, and I don't remember the exact details, but his ship was sinking. And he went back and rescued a whole bunch of people. It was on fire, thank you. His ship was on fire. And he went back and heroically rescued all these people because he knew the words that had been spoken to him had not yet come to pass. And it gave him courage. I can do this because the words, God, that you've spoken to me haven't happened yet, so I know I'm not going to die. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, wage war with the words that I brought to you with the laying out of my hands. Take those words, believe that they're true, believe they have an assignment, activate them by your faith, and wage war with them. We may not always understand the words that come to us. One of my favorite ones is one time years back again, I can't even remember, 35 or more years ago, there was a word for my husband and I that we would have a hospital ministry. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So we had this idea that we would go into the hospital, lay hands on people, and they'd all get better. Now, I can't say that we never did that, and we did have some people get better, but to call it a hospital ministry would have been really kind of a stretch. It was not a hospital ministry. Towards the end of my husband's life, he had 11 hospitalizations in 5 years, 9 surgeries in 5 years. Many other situations where we were going to a barrage of doctors. Guess what? We had a hospital ministry. And we didn't think of it for the longest time, but I'll tell you, my husband had it down pat. You would see it. He had developed a 2-minute testimony. So anyone that came into his room, I could see him counting down, 3, 2, 1, here goes. Boom, 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 boom. He witnessed to every person, that cleaning women, phlebotomists, doctors, nurses, it didn't matter who they were, passersby, everyone heard the gospel from my husband. Every doctor, every nurse for 5 years, all those places, no one left. The last time he was in the hospital, and we didn't know it was going to be the last time he was going to be in the hospital, he had a doctor named Dr. Khan, Amira Khan, and she was obviously a Muslim. She had a headdress and sweetest, sweetest lady, very sweet lady. She came into Ron's room one night. He had his Bible on his bedside table. And she said, is that a Bible? And Ron said, yes. She said, could I touch it? He's like, yes. She said, I just love coming into this room. I don't really know why, but I just, there's something about being in this room. And she said, could I open the Bible? And Ron was in his bed, and I was over here, and I wasn't close enough so I could see. But she opened it, and for probably a full 5 minutes, read whatever place she'd opened. And she looked at my husband. She said, I've never seen a Bible before. I've never touched a Bible before. I've never read a Bible before. And she closed it and said, you know, you're going to be going home tomorrow. And Ron and I looked at each other after she left the room, and I said, I'll bring a Bible tomorrow. Because we knew that she needed a Bible. So we had just been kind of in conversation saying, wow, you know, all these hospitalizations, all these surgeries, and I was kind of mulling that over in my head on the way home that night, and I thought of that prophetic word we had about a hospital ministry, and the Lord said, this is that. Not what we expected. Your words may come to fruition, not as you expected. We can't dictate to God how he's going to bring what the assignment is, even. The next day, Dr. Khan had a Bible in her hand. And she hugged it to her chest and put it in her pocket. That was the end of the hospital ministry. He never went back. He died at home. He was disguised as a patient, but he was infiltrating the hospital system with a ministry. And that assignment that was attached to that word came to pass, not in a way that we thought it would. It's not just personal words to us. How many words has this church received over the 25 years we've been a church? Have all of them come to pass yet? No. We have been putting a demand on 100 faithful couples. God spoke that to us. He was going to bring 100 faithful couples. We've been putting a demand on that, haven't we? It's in the bulletin. Pray. Pray until something happens. Pray until we see the fruition of that word. What about the prophetic words that have been spoken to the church in general? Do you know when Ron and I first got saved in the early 70s in the Jesus movement, we were kind of hippies, and we traded in, I was just telling, I think it was Dana this morning, sex, drugs, and rock and roll for righteousness, peace, and joy. We made an exchange, like we sang about today. And the gifts of the Spirit and things were just being brought back to the church. Free worship, personal prophecy. It had kind of been underground for a season, and we were just starting to see it. So even in the 47 years I've been saved, I've heard thousands of prophecies. Not all of them have come to pass yet. We need to put a demand on those words. Words for our city. Words for our nation. Words for the world. For the church universal that have been spoken that have not yet come to pass. And I believe that spiritual kingdoms will affect natural kingdoms. And as these words begin to find the time, the perfect time, and the assignment begins to happen, we're going to have the synergy of the ages. All those words that have been spoken throughout time about what God wants to do in this time, there will be, the Lord for weeks has been saying convergence to me, speaking that word about two things coming at each other and blending. The words from the past that have not yet been fulfilled, that are unfulfilled assignments, are coming forth in this season. And the words that we hold dear now, and they're going to meet, and we're going to see something like we've never seen before. I believe that is true, that we're going to have the promises of the past movements, even in this city, of Finney's time and all of the various things that have happened. And I feel this true in Wales too, the Welsh revival and all of those things. He's digging up ancient wells and calling forth those words once again and mixing them with the things that we know now so that we're going to see a movement of God like we've never seen ever. But we've got to call those words forward. We've got to put a demand on those things. Say, Lord, you said, you have said, and we're believing, we're activating it by our faith, and we're going to see it come in our day. Lord, Jesus, forgive us, Lord, that we've taken your word too lightly, that it's become familiar to us. Lord, that we've ignored instruction that you've given us to see the assignment of the words fulfilled. Forgive us, God. And we purpose in our hearts, Lord, that we're going to look back and we're going to reflect on the things that have been spoken to us. And Lord, we make a determination tonight that we will be accountable for the things that you've called us to. And I pray, Lord God, that you would stir up faith within us, that whether we believe it or not, or understand it all or not, or it is exactly what we think, Lord, that we would add our faith to those things that have you've spoken, and that we would begin to see them be potent and powerful and productive in our lives, in our church, in this nation, in your church universal, O God. We're putting a demand on those things you've spoken. We're calling them forth, mingled with our faith, O God. Let us begin to see the birth of what you've held in your heart since before the beginning of time, O God. Let us see it, Father. We long for it. Lord Jesus, I just want to take a minute before we say amen and ask you to ask the Lord to highlight, is there something, Lord, that I need to do to activate the word you've spoken to me? The words that come out of your mouth will not come back to you empty-handed, that they will do the work that you've set them to do, that they will complete the assignment that you've given them, and we would see the fruit of it in our lives and in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let it be, O God. Let there not be one assignment in this room unfulfilled. We pray in faith, believing. In Jesus' name, amen.